Included in the last verses of the book of Ecclesiastes is a phrase of just 6 words, but it carries a valuable direction. The words are, "Fear God and keep His commandments." These words are the topic of this week's program and sermon by Brother David Johnson. Our program is called Words of Life. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus and the salvation that is found only in Him. We now present singing about our Lord. It is our privilege to talk to God through the Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise your holy name and we honor you as we speak to you in prayer. Thank you for all the blessings that we enjoy in this life and in the promised life to come. Bless each of our listeners with good health and peace, and especially touch lives of those who need to know Jesus as Savior. Bless each one who is upholding your name in service to you, and especially be with the persecuted. Local congregations need your encouragement for growth as well. Bless also us with the readiness for the promised return of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above.
And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Using Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 9 through 14, Brother David Johnson will now speak to us on Fear God and keep His commandments.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson, Fear God and keep His commandments. The text is in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. Please listen to the Word of God. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads. Their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails, given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. You realize that our lives are like a school. There are many lessons to learn, a lot of failures, hopefully, to learn from also. God primarily teaches us through His Word, by the Holy Spirit. The book of Ecclesiastes is also inspired of God through the pen of Solomon, who finally wrote his final analysis, his wise conclusion regarding this life under the sun, S-U-N, the sun. And these are truths that we should witness, that we should share with others. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 9, it says in part, "He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs." Well, what exactly are proverbs? The word proverb means, basically, to be like. So proverbs are comparisons between common, concrete images and life's most profound general truths. Proverbs are simple, moral statements that teach basic realities about life. The Bible's Book of Proverbs, primarily written also by Solomon, are proverbs from God's perspective. However, the book of Ecclesiastes are proverbs from man's perspective primarily. But of course, all inspired by God, both the book of Proverbs in the Bible and the book of Ecclesiastes. And these are all truths that we can learn from and should share with one another, as is the case with all Scripture. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 10, it emphasizes in part, what he wrote was upright and true. Solomon wrote what was true to life, not diluted, but the unadulterated truth, whether pleasant or unpleasant, whether positive or negative. Solomon wrote the truth about this life. In verse 11, it says, "The words of the wise are like goads." Well, what are goads? G-O-A-D-S. It's a tool used, especially by shepherds, to move, to motivate a reluctant, stubborn animal, to goad them. Usually, it was a long wooden stake with an iron point to jab the hindquarters, to prod, to convince the animal, "You will move along." However, in verse 11, there is also another tool used by shepherds, firmly embedded nails. These were used to secure or to hold on to animals which might otherwise wander off. So what do these images, these tools, as illustrational tools, goads and nails, have to do with the words of the wise? In verse 11, it says that these are collected sayings or proverbs. Wise words from the Word of God, Scripture, often are needed to goad us, to prod us, to coax us, to move. Action. We're not to be merely hearers of the Word of God, but what? Doers of the Word of God. Pursuers of the truths of God. And firmly embedded nails? To nail down these truths in our minds, in our hearts, in our wills, so that we don't wander off, that we stay on the straight and narrow. We don't wander off away from God and His truths for this life. To secure His wise truths in our lives, to pin down godly wisdom for us to apply, to live it out, to nail it. And so wise goads are needed to move us, to motivate us, and wise nails needed to fasten us down, unmovable to the truth. Like a goad, a wise word or important truth of God may be unpleasant when first applied, but it will keep us moving in the right direction, in God's direction and instruction. In the New Testament, for example, in the Epistle of James, chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, wait a minute. Pure joy and trials? Well, to the natural mind, that doesn't mix well. These are opposite of each other. How can we possibly be goaded to accept this as wise truth? The answer, James chapter 1 and verse 3. "Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." And deep down, we know this is true and wise. If we allow ourselves to learn from our trials with God's help and guidance and direction. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 11, it ends with the words, "Given by one shepherd, the source, the sustainer of the words of the wise is our God." He is our one shepherd, our ultimate protector, provider of truth and wisdom to be lived out. All Scripture is useful for training and teaching and rebuking and correction. So listen to and follow the shepherd, the one shepherd, our great God, the one true God, the only God of the universe. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, "Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them, of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body." This is a verse that is often one of the favorites of those that are still in school, that are students. "The many books and the much study wearies the body," to which many students can attest to. But is Solomon, inspired of God, condemning books and study? Well, no, of course not. The warning, notice, is against that which is in addition to them. Addition to what? That is, in addition to the words of the wise from the one shepherd God. The warning is toward other books versus the book, the Bible, God's word, God's will. Because mankind has endless titles and endless topics, many, even most of which, contradict and are contrary to the Bible, to God's book. These are not helps, but hindrances, oftentimes. Because most books written by mere men, most books fill minds and hearts and wills with the way of the world, not the way of the Lord. Not by inspired writers that are God-breathed, as God carried them along and wrote what God desired in His Word, according to His will. Worldly wisdom is not wisdom at all. Worldly knowledge alone, in fact, can puff up with pride, even to replace God, the wisest of wise. Mankind has endless opinions and philosophies about life, but only the one shepherd, only God, has absolute truth and wisdom found in His book alone. The 66 books of the Bible, the 39 books of the Old Testament, and the 27 books of the New Testament, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, all God breathed for our benefit. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, it says in part, "Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Solomon, after investigating everything under the sun, according to the wisdom God gave him, distilled it all, probably towards the end of his life, distilled it all to first, fear God, speaking of our inner, genuine relationship with God, that we're to fear, not trembling as to a monster God, but a deep, devoted attitude of reverence and awe toward our awesome God, as our Master, as our Lord, as our one Shepherd who provides and guides and directs those that are His. And if we truly fear God, we will keep, secondly, keep His commandments, obedience. An unholy fear causes people to run away from God. However, a holy fear causes us to go down to our knees in reverence, in loving worship. The book of Ecclesiastes ends as the book of Proverbs begins. As for example, in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." And of course, discipline speaks of obedience to God's commandments. Discipline is having a godly self-control, part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as we today in the church age have the indwelling Holy Spirit, that we can grow in our disciplining ourselves as God works in us and through us by the Holy Spirit, to yield the fruit of the Spirit, to exercise the gifts of the Spirit, in the fear of the Lord, because He is our awesome God. He is our Master and our Lord. And if we truly fear Him, we will keep His commandments. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14, it says, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Do you realize, listener, that death is not the end concerning this life? Judgment is the end regarding this life. Because after death, eventually comes judgment, depending on what judgment you're involved in. Unbelievers will have to give an account for their every deed at the white throne judgment, because they refuse the grace of God. They refuse to believe, to have genuine saving faith, and somehow think that perhaps at that judgment, they can convince God, they can convince Jesus Christ, to whom God has delegated all judgment, that their deeds can earn their way to heaven. They will all fall very short. Those that are being judged at the white throne judgment will all fail, because no one can be saved by earning or deserving or any deeds that they may have done. One sin, not under the blood of Christ, will condemn all to hell for eternity. But believers will give an account at the judgment seat of Christ, not for salvation. That has already been taken care of in Christ Jesus, through faith in Him and His work on the cross. Our condemnation has been lifted, but it is a judgment nevertheless. And Jesus Christ is also the judge, but not for salvation, but for rewards or lack of rewards beyond salvation. Those things done while in the body, whether good or bad, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Life is a gift from God. We are stewards of our lives, and one day we will give an account to Christ of what we have done with His gift, the gift of life, regarding our deeds as Christians. Those things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Bad if they're done with the wrong attitude, if they're done in a way to get glory on earth rather than to receive rewards in eternity once we're glorified. You understand that some only spend their lives. Others waste their lives. But we need to invest our lives in the Lord and the things of His kingdom. Corrie ten Boom, a very wise Christian woman, said this, quote, "The measure of a life is not its duration, it is its donation," end quote. Very wise words. And we're to give our lives to the Lord, to donate it to others, as we seek to honor the Lord, as we're conformed to the image of Christ in the church age as Christians.
We pray that you fear God and keep His commandments and have Jesus as Savior. If you are not yet a Christian, please understand that you need to believe in Jesus, repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion. To receive a free recording of this and next week's program, please write and request CD number 2303. That's 2303. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.